Hello, awesome people. Welcome to Embrace the Pivot. I'm Dr. C. Robinson, your host for the show. Join me as we discover what pivoting actually means and how you can embrace your pivot during life's transition. Happy Wednesday, everyone. I hope you have had a great week. And if you're on the East Coast, I hope you stayed warm. I was lucky I did not get as much snow as some other parts, but it was still a little crazy here. Today, I have a truly, truly special guest. Now, I know everyone's a special guest, but if it wasn't for this person, I literally would not be here on Earth. Everyone, I have my mother, Maria V. Robinson, with me today.
Hello, how is everybody doing?
And we are going to be talking about pivoting, left brain, right brain, body matching, and a whole bunch of other stuff in between. Why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, I studied psychology in college. I was always interested in how the brain worked and why people did what they did. And I studied several different modes of communication, including silver mind control and transcendental meditation and self-hypnosis, just to see how the brain worked and how we could help our brains work for us. And then I came across neuro-linguistic programming, commonly known as NLP. For those of you who haven't heard of it, if you've heard of Tony Robbins does NLP, and it's all about how your brain works, not why, not the feelings, but how does your brain work and how can you get the results you want by changing your programming. Our brains are just like computers, and if we change the programming, we'll change the result we get.
And when you studied NLP, I was only one, so we're talking about 40 years ago.
Yes.
How has the NLP techniques evolved over the 40 years?
Well, you just keep experimenting. I keep reading, I keep studying, they keep experimenting, and we find more and more things that help us learn how the brain actually works.
All right. Everyone has heard left brain, right brain, and they think of it as basic as creative versus technical. Can you go a little bit further into what does it actually mean, left brain, right brain? And then two, I would like to talk about how we can use it when we're talking about pivoting. How can we pivot our mindset to frame up a situation in order for us to take that risk, in order to go towards what we set out to do?
Okay. Well, first of all, knowing the difference between the left brain and the right brain functioning is one of the most important things a person can ever learn. It is so integral to how we function as people, and 90% of what we consider personality conflicts are really conflicts in the way the brain works. The left side of the brain is the analytical side, and it is very structured. It needs to have a structure in order to function properly. The right side of the brain is the conceptual side, and it's hindered by the structure. It needs spontaneity. It needs no boundaries. It needs to be creative outside of the box. So what does this mean in terms of personality and getting along with people and communicating? Well, if you're an analytical person, if you're a left brain person, you need data, you need structure, you need a first, second, and third steps to get to where you want to go. A left brain person is the type of person who is packed when they are going on vacation about 2 weeks in advance based on a list they have made of every possible scenario they might run into, and they're prepared. Right brain people, on the other hand, are more conceptual. They don't like being tied down by structure. They may not start at the beginning of a project. They might start in the middle of a project. I call right brain people having organized chaos. They have piles of stuff everywhere, but they know where everything is. It's when they put it away that they can't find it because they can't remember what they would have filed it under.
True story.
So how does this work? Well, if you're a left brain person and you need to have facts and data and information in order for your brain to function properly, when you're talking with a right brain person and they're very conceptual and they're all over the place and they have no structure, they have no first, second, third steps, it's very hard for your brain to process the information. And the same thing goes with right brain people. If you're feeding them a lot of data, information, and facts, their brain checks out. They don't want to hear that.
I shut down. I don't even want to continue the conversation because right. I feel overwhelmed.
Right. And they want to feel. They trust their gut. It's how they feel that helps them understand things, not the data, the information, and the facts. So
here's a big question is, if you're left brain and right brain, it sounds so black and white. Is there a way to be somewhat towards the middle? I know you're always going to be dominant on one side, but is there a way where you can train your brain to be a little bit of both?
Yes, and that's really where you want to be. Because if left brain people were in charge of the world, lots of stuff would get done, but it wouldn't be much fun. If right brain people were in charge of the world, it'd be a lot of fun, but nothing would ever get done. You want the balance. You need the balance. Now, I was almost, when I first started learning this, I was almost 100% right-brained. I had such a difficult time with the facts, the figures, the data, and the structure. But once I learned this, I learned to be more flexible. Right-brained people, flexibility is their middle name. They can go from one thing to another with no problem. So I started training myself to be more left-brained. Now, I'll never be totally left-brained, but you can, by practicing, by listening to left-brained people and trying to get the facts and data and information they need to them, you can communicate much more effectively. So for example, I do seminars, and when someone would call me up and say they wanted me to do a seminar, and they would say information about the last person who did a seminar, they'd send me the handouts, they'd tell me exactly what they wanted me to do and exactly what they need. I knew for that person, I had to provide them with facts, figures, data, and information. So I would do a very detailed outline. I would make sure all my I's were dotted and all my T's were crossed. When somebody called me and said, well, we really don't have much of an idea of what we want you to do, what do you think? Then I knew I was talking to a right brain person, and I would give them lots of ideas, lots of concepts, lots of choices. Right brain people need choices. So that I would talk to them totally differently. And you literally can train yourself this way by listening to how other people talk to you and talk back to them the same way.
Now, I know it's possible for a right brain person to think more left brain, but why is it so difficult for a left brain person to think more right brain?
Because they're not as flexible. They need their structure. So when I was working with somebody one time, I was giving them options, option one, option two, option three. But as I was listening to them speak, they were left-brained. So I had to change it. And I put the same ideas, but I put them into plan one, plan two, and plan three. And that helped them much better understand it because I was speaking their language.
All right, that's interesting because I like options. So when I talk to my interns and I say, yeah, give me three options to choose from because I like having that. But when I hear the word plan, I go into, oh, is this plan even going to work? I don't know about this. And then what goes into the plan, and I get overwhelmed. So let's talk a little bit about those key words. When you're talking to someone and you're listening to what they say, what are the key word indicators to know this person's right brain versus this person's left brain?
Okay, well, for left-brained, it's easy. They'll put everything into a structure. First this, then this, then this. They'll have a plan all set out with very specific objectives. With the right-brain person, they're going to be more of, well, I don't know, what do you think? How does it feel? Because the way it feels is much more important to a right-brain person. So they're going to use words like feel. And they're going to be more conceptual. They're not going to be so detailed in what they're trying to discuss. They're going to be much more conceptualized.
Let's talk about left brain versus right brain when pivoting. So you said for a right brain person, they feel, they conceptualize. And for the left brain person, it's very in order. First, next, then. As a person prepares to pivot, one, you have to be able to pivot your mindset. A pivot is a change. And in order to successfully change, successfully pivot, you have to change and pivot your mindset. So as a person is approaching this new adventure or this new chapter in their life, how can they use the left brain versus right brain mentality to reframe their mindset?
Well, the first thing is you don't want to fight against the way your brain works. So if you're very left-brained, in order to pivot, you're probably going to need some kind of plan. But just inherent in pivoting, there's a lot of uncertainty. And how does a left-brained person deal with uncertainty? Sometimes you have to come up with more than one plan. Sometimes you have to be able to step outside of the plan and think of different concepts, different ideas that might affect what you're trying to do. So little by little, if you can come up with some ideas and then work with your left brain to get facts and figures and data about those concepts, you will probably be much more comfortable. And the same thing with the right brain person. When you're pivoting, you do need some kind of plan. And so you want to make sure that although you don't want to be hemmed in by your plan, you want to have some real strong objectives about where you want to go and then think of different conceptual ways to get there.
All right, let's pivot the conversation a little bit. Words are so important to your mindset, and everyone's definition of a word can be completely different. For instance, success. Everyone has a different definition of what success looks like for them. But let's talk about goals versus dreams. So with goals and dreams, they mean almost the same thing, but it's your perception, how you internalize that definition, that can really change the course of your journey. So can you talk a little bit about how that works and even maybe with some other words?
Okay. Well, when you are talking to yourself about success, you have to pay attention to what you're saying, especially when you're talking to other people about it. Because typically when we're giving other people advice, we're giving them the advice we need to hear. So listen to the words you're using when you talk about success. Now, I know for you, Cheryl, that dreams turn you off.
Turns me off. And I'm way more of a goal person. Now, sometimes the goals can make me feel overwhelmed, and overwhelmed, yes, is a theme in my world. But when I hear goal, I hear something solid, concrete, and accountable. Mm-hmm. It's gonna hold me accountable. But within that goal, I'm very right brain, so I have a lot of different options within that goal to get me to where I want to go. And without those options, if I had a plan does not work for me. I need the option. Yeah. So if option one doesn't work, well, let's try option two. But when I hear plan, I go into, oh my goodness, we're on a deadline. I don't know if I'm going to be able to meet the deadline, etc. But when I hear dream, I have some dreams, and it's, well, if I reach them or obtain them, great. If not, no worries. Because I feel dreams don't hold you accountable. Dreams are just dreams. They're out in the universe. But when you set that goal, for me, I have certain goals I want to meet before I leave this earth. And if I don't meet them, that's going to be a regret. But my dreams, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, no big deal.
And see, for some people, dreams and goals are the same. So it's very important to find out what your trigger words are. For example, when you're setting a goal, do you wish you could do it? Do you want to do it? Will you do it? Can you do it? Do you need to do it?
Should you do it?
Should you do it? All those different words trigger your brain differently. So the best thing advice I can offer your audience is to write down your goals using several of those words and find out which words really make you want to go after that objective or goal or dream, whatever it is, the word for you. And that's the word you use.
So, for example, would I say, I will, and then put my goal or dream? And
yes.
Okay, so what are some of those words again?
I wish, I want, I will, I can, I have to, I need to, I should. All those types of words are called modal operators, and they trigger everybody's brain differently. There's no right or wrong here. Whatever it triggers for you is what's right for you.
I hate, I have to. And I know I say it sometimes, but as soon as I put I have to in front of whatever that item is, I feel defeated already. Mm-hmm. I feel that, but I don't want to. And for me, I've really been thinking about this one, and I will is so much stronger because the will for me is holding me accountable.
Yes, and that's what works for you, and that's great that you know that. And for each person, you have to find what motivates you, because if I have to doesn't motivate you, and you constantly going around saying, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do that, you're not going to get anywhere because your brain is turning off. Find the words that work for you, and you do that by listening to yourself. When there's something that you want to achieve and you achieve it, how, not why, but how did your brain work to achieve that for you? What words were you using? What things were you thinking about? That's what's important. Find the program in your brain that means success to you.
Yeah, and before you pivot, I would do this exercise first. What word gets you motivated? Because when you're about to pivot, that's a huge step. That's a huge risk. And if you don't have your mindset right in the first place, it's more difficult, or it might take you a little bit longer to get to where you want to go. So if you can reframe your mindset, your thinking, and understand your modal operator, what gets you excited and what turns you off, then as you approach the pivot, as you're in the pivot, you can use that word to keep the momentum. Well, Mom, I think we imparted some really great information today for the listeners, and I would love to have you back.
I would love to be back whenever you want me.
All right, everyone. I hope you can figure out if your left brain, right brain, how to reframe your mindset when entering a pivot and really work on those modal operators. Again, modal operators are anything from will, should, have to, want to, ought to, right? Any of those. Figure out which modal operator gets you going, gets you excited, motivates you, and stick with it. All right, so before we say goodbye, my mom has written a book called
I am willing.
And it is a, not a fun book, but there's a lot of illustrations. So it's bright, it's motivating, and it's all about, I am willing to do X.
When you want to motivate yourself to do something, you have to ask yourself, what are you willing to do to get to where you want to go? And that's where you start.
Yep. And you don't you give them exercises in the book? And so explain a little bit about that.
Well, for each person, there's affirmations that will work for you. You have an opportunity to write down your own affirmations, as well as the book contains affirmations. It gives you a lot of ideas about what I am willing means and how to use it.
Yeah. I'm going to be putting a link to the book on my website along with my mom's bio and info and how to purchase it. So head on over to embracethepivot.org and you'll be able to learn more about the book. All right, everyone. I hope you had a great week. And Mom, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You can follow me, Dr. C, on Instagram at embracethepivot. I hope all of you embrace your pivot.